Well, we continue our conversation talking about prayer and making prayer an ongoing conversation in our life. It's just not activity, but it's something that really is the steering wheel of our life. It's just not something we pull out in times of trouble or crisis when we need God's help, but God wants to be engaged in our life. He wants to be a practical part of our life in everyday life. And today we're going to talk about never stop praying and this idea of never stop praying for your kids. Because if you have children at home, you need to be praying for them. But if they're out of the home, you need to be praying for them because they need your prayers as well. And even today, I am the recipient, I know, of my father's prayer who prayed for me this morning as we both are in the pulpit today in different locations in different states. But you also not only want to be praying for your kids, but you want to pray for your grandchildren. Some of you have great grandchildren. And some of you just say, I have kids in my life. I have a niece. I have a nephew. I have a neighborhood child. And I just want to say, according to Scripture, they need your prayers and they need the body of Christ to be praying for them. You know, the passage that we read out of about earlier in the responsive reading, it begins as the people of Israel are about to embark into the promised land. Now, last week we were in chapter 27 and talking about the blessings and the cursings and the people saying amen. Well, this happens to be really at the very beginning of that. And God has Moses assemble the people and says, you're going to go and I'm going to make you a great nation. And the land is wonderful. But the thing that God has Moses focus on is not what their employment is going to be, where what their house is going to look like or their tent's going to look like and what region of the land they have. He goes, I'm going to do a great work in you, and it's going to begin in your family. And there's a kind of a subtle message that is in here, that if things go well in the families of a nation, that nation will be strong and be prosperous. But if the breakdown of the home begins to happen in our life, there are a lot of domino effects that begin to happen. And so Moses stands and he says, these are the commands, the decrees that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing to Jordan to possess. Notice this, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all the decrees and the commands that I give you so that you may enjoy long life. Good things are going to happen if we have homes where we are impressing upon them the value of God and the love of God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you may have noted earlier when we read, let these commands be upon your heart. And then we have a command. It says, impress them upon your children. Be intentional about teaching these things for your kids. Now, in your sermon notes here, I have Psalm 127, 3-5. And it says this, by the way, the beginning of chapter 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they who build it labor it in vain. So God needs to be at the center of the house. And then it says, behold, children are a gift. Would you circle that word gift? You know, one of the things that we're losing as a nation is the idea and the concept, the biblical truth that children are a gift. In many ways, in our world that we live in, they're looked at as an inconvenience or something that just kind of happens or something to kind of fulfillment. But children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And I want you to underline this. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will be ashamed when they speak with their enemies at the gates. And I want us, against the backdrop of this message of praying for your kids, I want us to have that imagery that our kids are like arrows, that we go out in a world that is antagonistic toward God, that a world that is diametrically opposed to God. Part of the weapons that we have is raising up godly, fearing children in our life and grandchildren. And it says it's like arrows. And so I got some things here to help us today, and I have a willing volunteer. And that's Pastor Josh. There's a thing that I put in every job description, and that is, the last one is, and other things as assigned by the lead pastor. So here's one of those things. But he is a willing participant of this because He also knows my incredible archery skills. In fact, he went and got this. I want you to come back down here about to where Marge is here, Josh. And I have a couple things here for you because we worry about liability these days. I was going to blindfold you. But instead, I went by my father-in-law's garage today and got some safety goggles. Okay. So you have glasses, but I don't want to break those. I also looked in their fridge, and they had better apples than I had. And so you're missing two apples out of your fridge, Mom. Okay. Yeah, you may have to hold that on there because one of the things... Oh, very good. See? Level-headed was also in the job description. Now... then I was going to blindfold myself since I am such an expert at this, but I wanted to see the surprise on your look, on your face, rather, when I did that, so I'm not going to blindfold myself either. But it says, children are like arrows in the hand of a skilled warrior. And I want us to think, if that our children are like arrows, there is a framework that that arrow must go into in order to be effective. If it's going to go out in a face, there's a framework. And every one of us here today has a framework by which we view life. It's your worldview. It's your biblical view. And what God was given the people is a framework in which to place their children into. Now, how you stand is important when you do this. You're going to be impressed. I don't know how to say this humbly. Well, I'll just let my actions speak for themselves, okay? You place the arrow against the framework that you have. And then it's important that you have a grip on the bow itself, but you don't want to grip it too tight because you want to have what us archers call soft hands. And so soft hands, and as you begin then to set the arrow and set it and hold, you come back. Although I'm really good, if those that are on the aisle seats, if you'll just duck down 2 inches, I would appreciate this, okay? and you pull it back, and you transfer the load. You transfer the load from your hands into your back. Janet, I really see you leaning to the right very much, okay? That kind of distracts me a little bit. Just duck down. Don't lean over to the side. Okay, then as I do this, you transfer the load to your back. You see, there comes a time in our parenting where we just say, I'm just not going to count on the church. I'm just not going to count on the truth that I have. I need to take some personal responsibility for this. Isn't Pastor Josh doing a great job there? Okay, and he has a little bit of solace that we do have a doctor in the house. Okay, so the doctor is here. Once you pull it and you transfer the load, you begin to have an anchor point, and you anchor it against your chin or your nose, depending upon your particular style, and then you aim. You have to be intentional if you're going to be a skilled archer, and you aim that arrow at a target at which you have, and then which you release it. We raise our children to release them, and then we follow through, and that's why we never stop praying. And so here you go. Nancy, could you move to the left? Just there you go. Here we go. And because I don't want to be a bad example, I'm actually not going to do this right now. Okay? Okay? But trust me on this, okay? Thank you. Give Pastor Josh a hand there, okay? All right. I want you to understand you have a framework in which you parent out of, which you grandparent out of in life. It's your perspective. And children are like arrows. They're going to go in that framework, and to a large degree, the trajectory of their life will be dependent upon the framework that they begin to view for themselves. Now, what I'm going to share with you now is we're going to go down through Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3 to about verse 12, and I'm going to give you 10 things to never stop praying for your kids. And my guess would be that some of you have never prayed these prayers for your kids. There's some things in here that I have not been intentional praying for my kids. Here's what I love to do. When we pray, we always want to pray God's will. And when you pray Scripture, you are praying the Holy Spirit's words. We know that this is God's will for us individually, and we know that it's God's will for our kids. So when we pray the Word of God, we begin to pray over them what God is already saying that He wants to do in their life, and we know that this is God's will, that this is where they, what they live out of. And so we're going to go right down through here in Colossians chapter 1 and begin praying this. And I'm going to have 10 points here that come out of this. As a commitment to never stop praying for my kids, I will pray for them specifically and by name. I'm going to pray for them specifically and by name. I get this out of verse 3. Paul says, we, notice this, always pray for you. He was writing to the church at Colossae. He was writing to a particular people. He was praying for them specifically. And although he doesn't mention them by name, I think it is we can look at other places in Scripture where people were prayed for by name. And I just think it's a good habit to have. In fact, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, we had someone that had came through, and we're listening to this message on as we were talking about prayer, our prayer life and encountering God. They said one of the things that they felt that God, the Holy Spirit, impressed upon them was to pray for the kids by name. So they started praying for their kids by name, and then they felt the Holy Spirit says, you know, and I'm going to pray for every person I know that shares the same name as my child. And then they began to enlarge that, and they said, although I don't know all these people, but I'm going to pray for every person in the world that has that name. And so I'll just mention this name. If they have a son named Tom, they would pray for all the people that they know also by that name. And then when they meet someone and that person says, I'm Tom, they said, I've prayed for you. I just like that kind of idea, and I'm kind of thinking about implementing that in myself. But notice this praying specifically and by name, 1 Samuel 1, 27 to 28. Here's what Hannah says. I prayed for this child. She's talking about Samuel. This Samuel's birth came out of a heart of prayer. Samuel, by the way, means God has heard or God hears. And the Lord has granted me what I asked of him, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. That is really at the heart of baby dedication. We're saying, God has given me this child. It is a gift, and I am dedicating myself to give them over to the Lord and to his will for the rest of their life. You see, Samson and his parents also prayed for him. Then Manoah prayed, this is Samson's father, along with his wife, pardon your servant, Lord, I beg you to let the man of God you sent us come again and teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. Now, I specifically put Samson in here. Because if you know Samson's story, you know he made a lot of wrong choices in his life. God dishonoring choices. Here's what our prayers will not do. Our prayers will not violate the will of our kids. Pray for them. Pray that God will set the environment around them. Pray that their heart would respond. Live the life before them that God has called you. In fact, live out the prayers that you are praying for them for your kids. But understand, God gives us a choice. And the good news, at the end of his life, Samson did turn back to the Lord. And he is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in the faith chapter. So what I'm not suggesting here is that if you pray for your kids, you will have the perfect family that doesn't ever have pain and problem relationships. You hear me on that? The way our kids and the responses that they have is not always a reflection of how they were parented and what they were cared for. Notice what the proverb writer says. Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old. Get the truth and never sell it, as it also get wisdom, discipline, and good judgment. The father of godly children has a cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise. So give your father and mother joy. May she who gave you birth be happy. And then notice this. Oh, my son, give me your heart. May your eyes always delight and following my ways. Why would a father say to his child, give me your heart? The reason we want our children to give us our heart is so that we could direct their heart to God. See, we're going to impress. If you are not intentional, you hear parents all the time saying, well, I'm not going to shove religion. I'm going to let them make their own choices. And let me just tell you, I think that is negligent parenting. We would not have that same idea about, you know, when it comes to drugs, you know, I don't want to force my values on my kids, and I'm just going to let them make their own choices. Drinking and driving, I know things that I'll just let them make their own choice. That is relegating responsibility upon them. Listen, somebody is going to be intentional with your kids. Just make sure, and we can't always determine who that is going to be. But certainly what we can do is say with our kids and our grandkids and the kids that come into our contact, we're going to be intentional about what we are doing. And here's what it's saying. Oh, son, give me your heart. May your eyes take delight in noticing this, in following my ways. I'm not going to expect out of my kids things that I don't do myself. What prayer is of the Father is, let my life be an example of what I want for them. Follow me as I follow Christ. Proverbs 27, verse 7. The godly walk with integrity. Blessed are the children who follow them. Grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged. Parents who are the pride of their children. Let's go on. You're going to pray specifically for them, and you're going to pray by name. Some of the specifics we're going to start hitting into here right now. I think also I get from the scripture, as a commitment to never stop praying for my kids, I thank God for those who invest in their spiritual development. So part of my praying for my kids is I'm going to thank God for those that He's placed in His life that are teaching them the way of Christ. Notice what He says here, Colossians 1, 6 to 8. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere and changing lives, just as it changed the lives of your lives from the first day that you heard it and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news, underline this guy's name, from Epaphras. He named him by name. This is who you heard him, the good news from. He's a beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. And he's also told us about the love of Christ that the Holy Spirit has given you. Know who your Sunday school teachers are. Know who your kids are being influenced, and pray for them as well. And thank God that you have a church family that is committed to helping come alongside of you and help in the instruction of you, not only your kids, but the kids of this community. Be thinking, if I'm going to let people follow me, be thinking, why should I not be involved in children's ministry? Why should I not be involved in seeing how I can help and be prayer support and active support in them? Just prior to the service starting, Maxine Kern looked at me and she asked me how old Allison was. And she said, I remember when I saw her pedaling her little motor scooter over here when she was just a little tyke, you know, some probably 12, 13 years ago. You know what Maxine was doing? She was going in to the ladies' prayer group that met on Wednesday afternoons and prayed for this church and prayed for the missionaries and prayed for our ministries and things of that. Thank God that He has placed people like that in your life. And thank Him on a regular basis for that. So, verse 9, it says, we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. Never stop praying. Now, what are some more specifics that we can pray? Next one down. As a commitment to never stop praying for my kids, I embrace God's plan for their life. If you're going to give your child to God, what you're saying is, God, I'm a steward. I'm managing. They are in my care, but this child is yours. Listen, you won't pray the rest of this prayer unless you pray this one right here. Because we all have ideas and thoughts, what's best for them, what we want for them, what we want them to achieve in life, what we want them to accomplish in life. But it begins with us humbly saying, God, I want your plan for their life. Because here's what we understand. your ways are not God's ways. Your plans are not God's ways. As spiritual as you are, God is always doing something more, something different, something you didn't expect. So this is the dangerous prayer that you're going to pray for your kids. I'm going to embrace God's plan for their life. And then, as an outgrowth of that, and pray that they will learn, understand, and embrace that plan as it becomes known in their lives. God's plan is very seldom just given to us 20 years in advance. We don't always see exactly how it's going to come. But as we walk in obedience, God begins to unfold his plan. And when you go to the right, he goes, this is the way you should go. Walk in it. And so as it becomes known in them, they are learning, they are understanding, they are embracing. As they are giving you their heart, you are directing their heart to listen to God. We ask that God give you a complete knowledge of his will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. How to tune into God is what you're praying for there. And then the next little fill in the blank there is, here's a way in which to say, how do I do that? In your parenting, in your grandparent, you're going to focus more on G-O-D than G-P-A in M-V-P. Okay? Now that's kind of a cute way of just saying that more than anything else, your success as a parent is not based on valedictorian, salutatorian, scholarships to college, the best player on the team. That is really not success, because people can be successful in those arenas and have a complete mess of their life. But if you focus on G-O-D, to say nothing's good. Now listen, GPA is important. Grades are important. School's important. Being the best athlete and be a good team player, all those things are things, but they are secondary to G-O-D. What that means is God's plan may be a different college than the one that you have for them. God's plan may be a different career than you've planned for them. Focus more on G-O-D than anything else in your life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Our kids will catch that more if they see us doing it in their life, in our own lives, rather. Let's go on. I'm also going to never stop praying as a commitment to it. I will pray that they will experience the joy of saying yes to God. You know, as you read the Word of God, here's what God says. My commandments are not burdensome. Take my yoke upon you, you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul. That pray that they would learn the benefits of saying yes to God, rather than the pain and the agony of saying no to him. Colossians 1:10 tells us, then the way you live will always honor and please God. You see, if our children begin to learn the benefits of saying yes to God and experience the joy of saying yes to God, here's what we know about our God. 2 Corinthians 16:9, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro the earth to strongly support those whose heart is completely his. If we can pray that our kids will say yes to God, we know they just won't have our support, our encouragement, our coming alongside of them, but the creator of this world. They will go out into this world in strength, in security, and in confidence. And even when the enemy assails them with their arrows, you have an arrow that is stronger than any of the rest of those. Look what it says here in Deuteronomy 5:29, just prior to this passage of scripture we read in Deuteronomy 6. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always. so that it might go well with them and their children forever. That's God's heart for our families. Let's go on. I'm also going to pray as a commitment to never stop praying for my kids. I pray that those around them will experience the benefit of what is produced in their life. Colossians 1:10, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. Well, what does that fruit look like? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and gentleness and self-control. This is what life looks like. And as some of us have kids going into school or grandchildren going to the school here in the next week or two, this is what is going to be produced in that classroom out of their life. This is what's going to happen, and they're going to be a blessing to other people. You see, at the end of the day, it's not how much we know or our kids know, but it's who they are. And remind them who they are. And here in John 15, it tells us Jesus saying, "This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Also, as a commitment to never stop praying for my kids, I'm going to pray that they continually desire to practice the presence of Christ. All the while, you will grow and you will learn to know God better and better. What is practicing the presence of Christ? Remember, we had this in our sermon notes for some time, that part of that, what it might look like, is that each morning when you wake up, you celebrate and you start each new day by celebrating the presence of God. God, I know that you are with me. I'm going to take in the Word of God into my life. I'm going to have prayer be an ongoing conversation. So not only am I going to pray for my child by name, but as I go through the day, I'm going to think about them. I'm going to think about the things that are near the heart of God. I'm going to choose and make the deliberate choice to be thankful. I know more than anything else, God's will for our lives is that we're thankful in all circumstances, that I see His hand in all circumstances. So I'm going to make the deliberate choice. And part of what's going to help me with that is I'm going to build into my day deliberate decisions to contemplate God. Just like there's various cues that all of a sudden you know this. Maybe when I go on break, or when I'm ready to go to coffee, or whatever you do routinely, I'm gonna begin to train my mind and my heart to make deliberate choices to contemplate God. And then we talked about practicing the presence of Christ. Awesome. And at the end of the day, if you remember, tell God good night. Give Him your worries and your concerns, and let Him shape those into prayers and praises and requests to Him. Colossians 2, Paul writes a little bit later in this letter to them, "Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." I'm also going to pray as part of this commitment that they will trust God with the impossible. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all, underline that word, with all His glorious power. Why do you need God's power? You need God's power because God can do things for you that you cannot do for yourself. God just doesn't give out His power as just a reserve over here, and I'm just going to put some more power in your tank in case you ever need to use it, and I want some really powerful people out in this world, and so I'll just let this aura of power be around you. No. God says, "I'll give you strength for each day. I'm going to give you power in the lives of in as you face various circumstances in your life." And the very essence of why we come to Christ is we realize that Christ did for us. He saved our sin. He went to the grave for us. He died for us physically and was raised again in newness of life. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And that same power resides in us. And so I want to pray for my kids that they believe God, they trust God for the impossible in their life. Only things can do. And I want to keep taking us back. If that's going to be the case, then I want to live my life in such a way where I am trusting God for the impossible. What are those things that you hear that God wants to do in your life? You say, it'll never happen. What I'm saying is just open up your heart and to say, God, is this a place where you're wanting me to trust you? Is this really, help me to discern whether this is true or not. Again, we've been in this passage of Scripture for some time, and it's also on the wall back here in the back of the sanctuary. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, and then notice this, according to that power that works in within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And when we say amen, we are agreeing, we are affirming, and we are aligning our life to what God has revealed to us. I also, as a commitment to never stop praying for my kids, I pray that their faith will not grow tired. So you will have endurance and patience that you need. You know, life's hard. Life doesn't turn out the way it has. Sometimes it's tough always making the right choice. Sometimes it's difficult to be always the forgiver. Leading with grace is hard. Following Christ, you've got to count the cost. Pray that their faith will not grow tired. Not just growing tired in well-doing, but continuing a vibrant faith with God. 2 Peter 1:5-8 says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the heart of Joshua, who said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't want any of my family members to be ineffective or unproductive in the kingdom of God. So, Lord, help their faith not to grow tired. Confirm your word over their life. Bring people into their life to encourage them. I'm also going to pray, as a commitment to never stop praying for my kids, I pray that they will live a life of joy. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. God, I know that your will for us is that we continue to give thanks in Christ Jesus. Well, what does living a life of joy look like? Well, maybe many things, but here's a couple things. That they will be aware of God and his blessing in their life. That they would recognize those that have come alongside of them and how God has had merciful visitations into their life. And that they will also be secure in God's love and power. They're going to go out into this world. They're going to face rejection. They're going to face disappointment. Things aren't always going to work out, but I want them to be secure in God's love and his power. I like this little quote that says, joy is the echo of God's life within us. May they be very aware of God working in their life, that he who began a good work in them would continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And the last thing I have to share with you here today is I pray that they will share God's heart for the church. Really pray that? Yes. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in light. Listen, God's mystery of his plan for redemption was this thing called the church. That you would share God's heart for the church. It was for the church that he gave his life's blood for, we are told. 1 Corinthians 2:5 says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified or set apart in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, who in every place call on the name of the Lord Jesus, their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything, you were enriched in him. That came through the ministry of the church. Now, you have a little space there at the end. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to write the name of your kid. Or maybe you want to start writing the names of your grandkids, and we don't have time for some of you to fill those all in, but you get the idea, okay? All right? Because what I want to do now is I want to lead us in a prayer. What our heart is here is not that we just fill up with information and say, well, that was a good message, that's something to think about. Huh. We want to be people that actually take this and apply it in our life. And so what I want us to do is right now is to put down your pens and let's just close our eyes and let's pray. And I'm going to pray for my kids. And I want to use their names once because I've got seven to pray for with a daughter-in-law as well. But I want you to add the name of your kids, or maybe you just want to say my grandkids, and let's just pray for them as we lead up to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Lord, this is a sacred moment. We can only come into your presence, God, because you chose us. You chose us to be near to your heart. And so you were willing to give up your son to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And it's because of Jesus' shed blood on the cross and his death in our place that we can even say this prayer with confidence, agreeing and affirming and aligning our heart to your will. And so, Father, today I pray for Jake and his wife Katie. I pray for Emily, for Allison, and Christian, Diego, and Noah. And I pray that they would see in Marilyn and me people who are directing their heart to you. I pray, Lord, that they would see in us a reason for joy, and that we would be their pride, according to your word. And I thank God for those that you have placed in their life that are investing them spiritually, not just right now, but those through the years who have prayed the prayers they haven't heard, but have been moved on their behalf. I thank you for their Sunday school teachers right now, the FW Friends workers, those that are going to be prompted by your Spirit just in this week to say, I want to be involved in that. Thank you in advance for them. And Lord, this week, I thank you for Ron Gentry, who loved my boys and pointed them to Jesus. Lord, I pray that my wife and I would continue to embrace your plan for our kids' lives. And that they would learn, they would understand, and they would learn to how to recalibrate their own desires to align their life to you. Father, give them the joy of saying yes to you. Against all odds, against naysayers in their life to say it shouldn't be done that way or you ought to do it this way, I pray you would help them to live a life of obedience. Lord, put this into their character so that the people that they encounter would say, those kids aren't perfect, but there's something about them. There is something at the core of these kids that is different. I see God's hand upon their life. I see God's grace even when they make wrong decisions, even when they're in sin, that they confess and they move towards you. Lord, may others experience and benefit from what you pour out of their life. And I pray that as they walk in life, that they will not just let church and Christ be routine. Save them from religious activity, I pray. May they practice your presence each and every day. And then, Lord, what I'm praying for is that there'll be people of faith. Kids that would go with the idea that they would be willing to charge hell with a water pistol because they know God is with them. Give them like the faith of a David that says to his giant in his life, that says, you come to me with the spear and the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And then, Father, as they're in the battles of this life, help their faith not to grow tired. We know that Satan comes in like a flood, and he wants to discourage, and when we're tired, when we're weary, we are really susceptible. And so, Lord, protect them. Keep those people in their life to help guard them hearts. Open their life up to accountability. May they honor truth. And I pray that they'll live lives of joy, aware of your blessing and secure in your love. And I pray that they will share your love for the church. That you would give them reason in life to contemplate the good things the body of Christ has brought into your life. And Father, I pray these things for my kids and those that are in this auditorium today. Pray it for their kids and their grandkids and their nephews, their neighbors, their nieces, kids that they encounter. And we pray this to the glory of God, Christ Jesus, in the church, both now, forever, and ever. We agree with heaven. We affirm your desire in our life, and we align our behaviors and our obedience to your perfect plan. So, Lord, we say, amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Those that will be assisting in communion would come on forward. And you do not need to be a member of the Wesleyan Church in order to participate in the Lord's Supper, but you do need to know that your sins are forgiven. That any sin that is confessed before Him, the Scripture tells us to let a man consider his ways. We do ask that you wait until everyone is served, and then we will participate together as the body of Christ. Continue in an attitude of prayer. As we continue in an attitude of prayer, I was thinking this week how the Spirit intercedes for us. God continues to pray for us. And even when we don't have the words, He's praying. He's never stopped praying for you. And I've also thought this week about how God the Father continued to encourage the Son. At Jesus' baptism, there was a voice, an audible voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Thanks for saying yes, in other words, to the plan for your life. And Jesus, out of his own testimony, says, I do nothing out of my own initiative, but only that which what the Father tells me. He continued to turn his heart toward the Father's plan. Then before he gave his life on the cross for your sin and mine, there was a moment in which we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And once again, the Father affirmed his approval for the Son. And he said, this is my Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. That same loving Heavenly Father is involved in your life and in mine. Jesus.